Welcome back to Ward and L
on Canada Talks. Let's get into hour number two.
Let's indeed get into hour number two. For the last time in 2016, one of our favorites, it is personal branding expert, Mr. Evan Thompson.
Hey, there's the guy.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
Very well, poised to begin a new year.
Well,
in fine style.
Speaking of, you're wearing a bracelet that says Beginnings.
Yes, this is bright green.
Oh, it's New Beginnings.
It says Believe in New Beginnings.
Oh.
And this is along the New Year's resolution theme that we're going to table today.
Okay, nice.
And it's just sort of a gentle reminder that a lot of things are possible that we never think could exist.
Totally. And sometimes you just have to shift your idea of what you think something is a little bit, and it's totally possible.
Absolutely. You may be aware of expectations.
I was thinking the other day about how the concept of anything is possible, right? And someone said something like, yeah, but what if, I'm like, you can be whatever you want to be. And they were like, what if I want to be a unicorn? Well, you can be, you can be a unicorn. But here's the thing. You have to shift what your idea of a unicorn is. Now, if you actually want to be a horse with a horn, well, no, you're not a horse. You're a person. But you could totally live like a unicorn, wear a horn on your head, make a YouTube channel, somehow get a TV show. Like, you can live as a unicorn. If you want to be a unicorn, there's a way for you to be a unicorn. It's just not, you know, literal.
How about a business coach for now and down the road a unicorn?
What if that's what you want to do, Evan?
Because I'm not really feeling being a unicorn.
You don't have to be a unicorn. All I'm saying is, if you wanted to be, there's a way to do that, right? It just takes shifting your idea of what that would look like a little bit.
And do you know, riffing off that idea, so often when we're making New Year's resolutions, we do so because we feel we need to be the person we want others to see, not
yes.
the person we are. And that's where we can get into huge amounts of trouble. I won't spout every quotation on the topic known to history, but to thine own self be true.
Oh, can I just, listen, you just opened a can
Over
of worms.
Over to you? Okay.
So,
no,
yeah.
Go.
I'm just going to immediately cut you off and go, first of all, Shakespeare said all the best of. Secondly, for listeners who don't know, to thine own self be true is from Polonius' speech to Laertes, giving him advice about going out into the world. And it is some of the best advice and probably the best speech in Shakespeare. Find it in Hamlet. Okay, sorry. I'm literally so obsessed with that whole speech that as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, Evan, we're best friends. I forgot.
No, that's very well said. But managing expectations is so important at this time of year. And, you know, I've over the years tried to maintain resolutions. But finally, a couple of years ago, I decided that there was no point in making a New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Did some reading on the topic. The American Journal of Psychology will say that 45% of people make resolutions. 8% keep them.
Yikes. Those are bad odds.
That's not a good batting average.
Yeah.
And the reasons they don't keep them are as many as there are people who break resolutions.
Isn't it? I mean, listen, there are some people who I think the symbolism of the new year, and I think we do all kind of get a feeling of that fresh, like, turning of the page, right? There is something very symbolic about the changeover. But I think there is an idea most people have that, oh, on January 1st, I'm going to be somebody different. I'm going to be someone who, oh, I procrastinated in December, but come January, I'm going to be proactive. And then when you're not a different person, the negative self-talk starts in and you let your resolutions go and then you feel crappy because you let them go and then you wait till next year.
Couldn't agree more. You know, I think one of the biggest battles that people who want to do right by themselves and have useful New Year's resolutions is the encouragement of those who really care about them. You know, their partner, their friends, their siblings, their children, they want them to do well and they want them to be that person they know they're capable of being. But sometimes the timing just isn't right. The person who is resolved to make the resolutions may feel under huge pressure.
Yeah.
And pressure is probably one of the biggest detriments to making and keeping a resolution. And mm-hmm. and we can expand on that shortly. But I think the biggest reason that people fail in keeping their resolutions is A, it's a hectic time of year. They've just come off a really stressful family time in some cases. They've entertained the relatives. They've put them back on the planes back home. And they want to chill. The last thing they're capable of managing or contemplating is a sudden change in their lifestyle or their mm-hmm. behavior or both.
Yeah.
And that's really, really tough for a lot of people. And it can drive them further away from their resolve to be better, feel better, look better, earn more money, all these things. And their legs just buckle.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Al doesn't really do resolutions. In the years we've known, I do one every year.
2 years ago, my resolution was do more stuff and things. And then I accidentally did way more stuff and things that year. Yeah. So it did work out.
Yeah. But you tend to make a vague one like that.
Well, I'm just constantly picking stuff.
Right. I think mine was, what was mine this year was just to be healthier in general. And and I've been healthier in general.
Sure.
No, I have, but I was going to make my resolution for this coming year to listen more and talk less. That was kind of my resolution this past year also. I have done a little of that, but I think rather than make it like that, truthfully, I'd like my resolution this year. I like to give myself a realistic one, and that is in general, I'm going to try to be a nicer person. That's kind of it. I think a general one like that, and to sleep on it more often, because I'm often quick to like let something upset me and go right into, but then I find if I give myself a day, I'm right. typically not so upset. So my resolution this year is to be a nicer person and to sleep on it more.
And what do you think that will mean?
Shut up, Evan! Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. New Year hasn't begun yet.
I didn't see that coming either. Evan and I both just jumped like a foot and a half. I can't believe I didn't see that setup.
Boy.
New Year isn't here yet. New Year's not here.
Yes, that's a good
You never
point.
Know what you're going to get when you come in here. But anyway.
No, but no I think if you give yourself something that's realistic, that you have the whole year to look, if one day I lose my temper or something like that, it doesn't mean the whole year is shot. Give yourself something realistic that you have an entire year to work on.
But that, it brings up a really good point, because I think people think that if you make a resolution, you have to be perfect at it.
Yeah.
And that the second you fall off, you've screwed up everything and you might as well just give up and eat all of the chocolate.
No,
you know?
It's supposed to be for the whole year. Give yourself the year.
But do people do that, Evan?
No. Speaking of food, and I do talk to people about this, exercise and food are the two biggest ones.
Yeah.
They ask,
that didn't surprise me at all, yeah.
How can I lose 20 pounds? And I say, short of very drastic surgery, I wouldn't even think about 20 pounds or whatever the metric version is. I would just think of putting less of the bad stuff in your mouth.
Yeah.
And have the fun of seeing the pounds just drain away.
Yeah.
And they will. Once you can not key into that tangible goal.
It's really interesting. It's with goals, it's almost like you have to break them down and be very specific. But when it comes to resolutions, because I am the same in terms of when I want to lose weight, instead of really getting nitpicky and going, I go, you know what? I'm going to eat more vegetables. And I really focus on putting as many vegetables in my face as I can, right? And so it's not, I'm still going to eat other garbage. I ate a lemon Danish for breakfast, but my lunch today is all vegetables. So it's like I just start trying to eat more vegetables, and that becomes my focus. Not, oh my God, I can't eat this, or don't eat that, or eat less of this. I just go more.
Have an attainable resolution. My wife, I've always said a few years ago, it was the best. Her resolution was to drink more water. And that's a really good, that's a good resolution to have. It's a healthy thing to have, but it doesn't put you in this, you know, and this year is the year that I mastered the guitar. I mean, you know, this thing that you've never done, that suddenly this, you're finally going to sit down and do one year. I mean, because why? Because you said at the beginning of the year, you're going to do it. I mean, like I said, give yourself something that is a year long attainable goal, I would say.
Absolutely. And unless you are facing very serious health challenges, and you must change your eating habits, your alcohol consumption must go away, then you do have that latitude because you're more likely to reach those goals. I mentioned exercise as the second piece that clients ask me about. There's a practical reason not to go hell-bent to the gym on New Year's Day, take out the pass that your partner has given to you, and vow to use it every day for the next 6 months. It ain't gonna happen. Practical reason, try and get on a piece of equipment in the gym after New Year's when everyone's trying out their new stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, no,
everyone's
January
in the gym.
Is crazy in the gym.
Yes.
By February, it starts dying off. By March, you've got lots of space.
And I'm not trying to say avoid the gym in, you know, the month of January. I'm just simply saying that in the gym at that time of year, that's when everyone is trying to bring on new customers. They're trying to sign you up rightfully. That's their job, to make you feel better. But it's crazy and more stress. After a holiday season, you're now faced with more stress trying to find a bike to sit on, trying to find some weights to press.
It's not just that. January is considered the most depressing month for most North Americans.
Yes.
So
real downer.
So it isn't even, you know, sometimes it's stress, but a lot of times it's you have that post-holiday downer of you're in the new year, but it's winter for, you know, I mean, it's very cold for a good portion
it's
of
dark
the continent.
And it's gross.
And
you're fat from the holidays.
So, but I mean, although fitness is that one that we all talk about, it's any kind of come out of your bubble resolution that can be hard in January. You know, any kind of, I'm going to get out and work in the yard more. is going to be hard to do. I'm going to socialize more when really what you want to do is hibernate, right? You know?
Well, it's much better than saying I'm going to spend 10 hours a week shoveling snow. If it's not my snow, it's my neighbor's snow. And if not his or her snow, the neighbor down the way. I'm going to shovel 10 hours. And that's how I'm going to be a better person. And that's how I'm going to get fitter. That's absurd. That's just setting unreal expectations given the day, given the heaviness of the snow. A lot of people do this. This is one of their first go-tos when they want to get fit in the new year. They decide they're going to shovel snow. That's why you hear the sirens all over the city after a particularly thick, damp snowfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way,
many people die shoveling snow every year.
They do. Yeah. They do. Some have no choice but to clear their own paths. Others see it as an exercise opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, and it
needs to be managed really
back.
Carefully.
It can be an exercise opportunity, but actually you should already be fit before you decide that's your exercise.
No, your back is going to end up broken.
That's like you're out of shape and then you say, well, I'm going to get into shape. So your first day you try to run 5K, you know, it's an unrealistic goal.
Well, and this is to your point, Evan, and actually ties in with what I was saying about people think they're going to be a different person on January 1st. If you never go to the gym, why on earth would you think that because it's January 1st, all of a sudden you're going to go to the gym every day of the week? That's never going to happen. You can't go from zero to 100.
This often happens in business environments where you have boomers, millennials, all mixed into one. And I don't want to generalize about who's the fittest of the two cohorts, but there's a lot of competition.
Yeah. Right.
Someone of my vintage sees someone half my age, who I may report to, going to the gym, hanging and banging 4 days a week. Why can't I? I've got to get worthy.
Wait, sorry, we're going to have to go back to the phrase hanging and banging? What does that mean?
Among us heavy-duty weightlifters.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
You hang out. Mm-hmm. And you bang.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Now it makes sense. I've not heard in that phrase before. Sense.
In the entertainment industry, it doesn't mean the same thing.
No, not it's a quite. Different.
No, I'm speaking of the gym different. World.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Where banging, as in the clanging, the deafening noise right. that the weights hit when they hit the floor.
Evan, do you always put your weights back?
Something. Delicately.
Okay.
I don't hang and bang. I hate it.
I have one of these.
You're like a Charles Atlas ad from a comic book from 1974.
I know, it's amazing. I work at a gym.
74, thanks. Yeah.
I work out at a gym that is very like garage gym. A lot of guys that hang and bang, mm-hmm. and never put their weights away. There's 100 signs around. Put your weights back on the rack, and they don't.
Don't drop your
and then
weights.
They'll use the leg press and then leave like 400 pounds on it. Yeah. And then now I got to take off all your dumb weights so that I can, because I cannot leg press 400 pounds.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Shocking.
There's
right?
a resolution by February.
Okay.
One.
Not by step one, but listen, I'm not saying that by December 2017, I'm not going to be able to leg press 400 pounds, but like one rep.
She could if there was a jaw press.
I don't like you.
What?
I wish it was already 2017,
I'm
so your being nicer thing was a thing. All right, let's take a break. Yeah, we got off on a bit of a gym tangent, and that's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about New Year's resolutions. Evan Thompson is with us, and of course, you can see him at evanthompsonandassociates.com. And we want to hear from you. What is your goal for 2017? You know, are you the person that's going to take on a major resolution, like I'm going to quit smoking, you know, a major life change? Or are you doing more like what we're talking about, where you give yourself a year-long goal, something that's maybe realistic but optimistic? Okay. At Ward and Al is our Twitter, wardandal@gmail.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Stand by. There's more Ward and Al
after this. Meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of
Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad.
You're listening to the number one duo in Canadian talk radio. This is Ward and Elle.
Evan Thompson is hanging with us. He, of course, is from evanthompsonandassociates.com, personal branding expert, friend of the show. And we're talking about New Year's resolutions. And kind of the agreement we've all come to here is that they probably work best when you look at it as like a year-long goal. And you make it something attainable rather than this Herculean effort on your part.
Listener Roger tweets, and this is the way I am. He says, if I find something throughout the year that needs attention, I'll focus on it. Otherwise, I just live my life. And I think I was one of those people for years that, yes, well, January 1st, everything I don't like about myself, I'm going to do differently. Yep. And I'm just going to naturally be inspired. I was also that kid that every September was like, this year I'm going to pay attention every minute in class and I'm going to take good notes. And that lasted like a week. But then I finally realized, like, what am I doing? While I do enjoy the symbolism of, oh, it's a new year, at the same time, I recognize, like, time is a man-made construct. Like, it's a new year according to who? Just work on whatever you want to work on.
Well, you know, I think the Babylonians got it right 4,000 years ago.
Okay.
They invented the New Year's resolution.
Did they really?
It was a perfect concept to placate their gods. They found ways to work the crops better, to build a richer, more robust society, to cut down crime. It wasn't about them and their abs and their weight. It was about them running a more efficient society.
We want to make.
Where are they now?
We want to make Babylonia great again.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, and you know, 4,000 years ago, I can't imagine what it would have been like wandering around then. But this was before self-awareness came in. And this is before self-absorption came in. This was survival. And that was what mattered. So to survive, they weren't worried about their low self-esteem. They were more concerned about making enough crops to feed the kids and keep everybody upright.
Now, listeners.
And not get the gods angry.
Well, yeah, you know, you got to keep them on your
side.
Can't
be doing that.
Listener Sam says his wife and he keep getting healthier is like their resolution. See, I like that. That's a good, it's not a, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. It's a just be healthier.
Yep.
Listener John says his New Year's resolution is to spend more time on his motorcycle. So that's good. Organ doning.
Okay, that's not nice. No, but I think that is one thing. I think a lot of people... One great thing that you can do for your life is do those things that help you unplug, focus more on your hobbies. Because I think a lot of us feel like, oh, I always have stuff to do and I shouldn't. But if you really set aside time and you go, okay, for this hour, I'm really like, I'm not going to feel guilty about the time I'm taking out and I'm going to do whatever my hobby is and really enjoy it. That's good for your psyche. That's probably good for your blood pressure. That's good for your life, right? Instead of just every night going, well, I want to do this, but oh, I've got so many things to do. I should work instead.
I'm going to do less of my hobby because my hobby is drinking scotch in the dark. Right? There's certain hobbies you should probably pull back.
What's that famous Sheryl Crow tune? If it makes you happy, then it can't be that bad. For the life of me, I have wondered what that is about. Is that about a failed relationship? Is it about an addiction, personal or otherwise? I've
not
a clue.
You know what? She is quite famous for dating the worst dudes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I feel like it's probably about dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she got to know a number of them. She was on stage beside probably half a dozen of the best rockers.
Well, I think she is probably like in relationships. I feel like she knows. She's a month in and she goes, oh, this guy is not good for me.
Another one of these.
But I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay, though.
Right.
I'm going to stay.
Well, there's a resolution to consider. How many people do you know, do I know, who are in relationships that are, if not broken, then quite destructive?
Yeah.
And do you put a clock to it and say, I can stay for another 6 months? Or do you say, I am going to start making this better, and if I don't see any resolution,
yeah,
then I will graciously make my way out.
Yeah.
Without putting a time limit.
Yeah.
Because you're just setting a time bomb for yourself.
Yeah, I think just...
If you have to time everything.
Yeah, just be honest with yourself throughout the year about issues affecting your life and deal with them as they come, right? So yeah, if you're in a crappy relationship and you know it, then go, all right, I got to get out of this thing, you know?
Do you have a resolution now?
I don't really do that.
I know you don't really do them, but I mean, do you have a goal for 2017?
Oh, well, I mean, I have tons of goals, but like not
really. Is there one specifically that you haven't explored that you're looking ahead to?
No.
No? Right. I mean, I know you're totally a goal setter, like on a regular basis.
Sure, there's lots of things I want to get done, but none of them where I'm like, oh, 2017 is the year for this. It's just like, oh, I'm working on these seven things. Hopefully one of them moves forward.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's nothing time quantified.
Right.
Really?
Evan, do you have one?
One? Yes. To set clearer boundaries.
Oh, that's a really good one. And a lot of people need that one.
Well, thank you. And those boundaries can be being too generous with boundaries, too tight with boundaries. Mm-hmm. But just setting boundaries so that people can have an authentic conversation with you without wondering when you're going to, I won't say snap, no more snapping in here today, but where you can honestly give them the straight goods.
I think, yeah, because for a lot of people, you know, they don't know how to say no to certain people, or in some cases, they might not know how to say yes to certain people, or they don't know. It's really important to think about who you let have access to you and how much access they get. Because it's important to take care of yourself so that you can better take care of the people you care about, right?
You know, in the corporate world, I've often seen individuals who will be first with the hand up to work on the weekend to get the product rolled out, to get the work done. That works for a while, but setting no boundaries in that regard is fatal.
Yes.
Not only to your health, but to your career. Because what sort of person who has no boundaries and no sense of limitation will be promoted to encourage that sort of behavior from other people who will burn out
in
a flash?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not have the wisdom to know when enough is enough and when to value themselves.
100%.
In this work environment, it's really tempting to say, can do. I'm the guy. I'm the girl. I'll do it.
Yeah. And they're also, you know, even without burning out and stuff like that. Yeah. If the idea is like, oh, this person will always do everything you ask them to, you're getting all the crap work. And how do you move forward in your career if you're doing everybody's paperwork? You know, they just start thinking of you as, oh, this idiot will do everything. Let's just put everything we don't want to do on this person, and we'll all, right? It's
Cassandra. Cassandra looking through the booth just looks up and goes,
Yeah, well, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes stuff I don't want to do. I'm like, Cassandra, will you send this email? Because I don't want to. It's mostly Ward, yeah. Yeah.
Moi? No, but that's, you know what? It's something to be said, though. That's also, some people's resolution may be to, for lack of a better term, put up with less or stand up for themselves more. Whereas, like I said, when I keep saying what mine is, and in a lot of ways, it's just to try to be a better person.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to do is point the finger less and jack the thumb back at myself more, right? And that's a attainable goal.
Sure.
Because every day that I succeed at it, then it's worked. Every day I don't, I have another chance.
You were asking me if I have anything in particular for 2017, and because I'm constantly in this mindset, I'm like, well, no, but obviously I have a million things that I'm working on. You know what I mean? And so that's what I think for me, it's always, it's just a constant state of evolution, really. And then slide back a bit and then evolves more and then take another step back. So it's like, yeah, I'm constantly working on being more positive, especially in my brain, because my brain is a negative land, is always on my list. You know, being more patient is always on my list, being less of a Judgy McJudgerson. But those are things that, those are just things that are kind of constant work in progress for me.
It's right? also hard because, in all honesty, the judgmental aspect of you is also one of the most entertaining things
well,
about
that's
you.
The thing is that that's when I'm funny. And so
I know it's hard because it is kind of your
this
thing.
This is the internal debate I have all the time.
Yeah.
Is can I be a super positive, nice person, but also still be fun and zany and entertaining? Because, you know, being a bit judgy
mm-hmm.
It makes people laugh when I do it.
Let's go into the booth, Cassandra and Brett. Cassandra, do you have a New Year's resolution? Do you do that kind of thing? And if you do, do you have one for 2017?
I normally do the realistic ones that I can find in it myself. So trying to be maybe more patient.
Right.
With you guys, I think.
What? You're already too patient. No, what are you talking about?
No, not all the time. I think sometimes, well, maybe not with you guys, but with other people. Like, for example, my roommate.
Sometimes oh, I get well, a little, she's a problem.
I get a little agitated sometimes, and I snap. And I think it's something that I need to consider more is take a step back, take a breath.
Yeah.
And then, you know, reevaluate the situation and try and proceed with caution.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Do you think that you take your stress from here out on your roommate?
No, what stress from? I don't have any stress from here.
Okay. All right. What? Well, just checking.
What are you talking about?
Just checking.
Yeah.
Brett, do you have a New Year's resolution? Is it to tell those kids genuine. To get off your lawn?
Exactly. I'm going to give my typical old man in a young person's body response. And mm-hmm. I don't do New Year's resolutions. I try to better myself every day with every lesson that's brought forward to me. And yeah, That's the way I go.
How about you start with not lying all the time?
I'm not lying.
That's a good resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to think of a resolution for you, but I don't have one.
Yeah.
I didn't have a good joke, guys. I wanted to have a joke.
Now, our boss, program director Joe Thistle, has walked into the booth. We're going to ask him, do you have a New Year's resolution for 2017? Or do you do New Year's resolutions?
But before I get there, wouldn't it be a sight to see Cassandra actually agitated, this big 6'4" behemoth of a woman there that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd be like a Smurf.
Angry Smurf?
Angry Smurf.
The angry little Smurf.
Do you see now why she needs patience?
La 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 la. Screw you. Angry Smurf.
Yeah, she's something else. No, resolutions. I make them every year and break them every year, so I think I'm kind of... I'm the old man in the old man's body, so I don't think I make resolutions this year. No.
Okay.
Do you have... You don't have one planned for 2017?
I'm making some music now, so I want to put out an album. So that could be something I should think about.
Be more creative.
Be more creative. There you go. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
And my big resolution is just to try to get you guys to the end of 2017.
Fair.
Okay. That's a reassuring resolution. You know, that's for all of us.
Without canceling the show or without killing us.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
It's a constant struggle. I've got about 6 or 7 more days, and I've got to the end of last year's resolution, was to get you to 2017.
Okay. Yes.
Now
yes.
My next one's going to be to get you to the end of 2017.
Okay.
Worst case scenario, one of you.
Maybe turn off his mic.
Hope you guys like the Al show.
Yeah, that was not designed to make us feel good, that comment.
What a way to end the year.
Yeah, honestly. Jeez.
Evan comes in and makes us feel good, and our boss goes, nah, screw that.
Now, Evan, what are some resolutions that people could make to be better in the workplace?
Yeah.
Besides being like, I'm going to be entirely different and be organized.
Like, for instance, if you're a boss, what can you do to lift people up rather than tell them that they may not last the year?
To riff off what Ward said earlier in the show, listen and don't just nod and be looking at your device and sipping something, but really listen.
I'm thirsty, Evan.
And ask questions that invite conversation, that encourages the employee or the manager, the fellow manager, to talk about what they are experiencing in the workplace. And then that's when the conversation really gets going, because then you're exchanging ideas about how to make a better work environment, how to make things easier and better for both of you.
So what kind of questions? Like what can I do more around the office, boss? Or
my meetings are hopeless. I can't keep people's attention in a meeting. I mean, if they show up, they're asleep within 10 minutes. What can I do? What do you do for your meetings? Well, I have basically a lot of the same challenges, but one thing I found that really works is...
Pyrotechnics.
Cattle prods. Get people to pay attention. Slam your fist. No, I'll be serious. That's very good.
It works.
Dude, if I walked into a meeting here on Thursdays,
yeah,
and there was like, if our boss walked in, like imagine, a wrestling entrance.
But imagine even just sparklers.
Even bad news.
Even just sparklers, you would be like, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other ways to involve participation in a meeting, have an agenda, send out reminders, and never start a meeting by saying, I know we're coming up to the holidays. I know you want to be out of here. I know you've still got maybe some shopping to do. So I'm going to make this really quick. They'll ask, why did you bring us here in the first place?
Yeah. And you're basically inviting them to check out.
Yes. And you're opening up the floodgates. You're dropping your boundaries completely by being ineffectual,
right,
non-committal, and basically not attuned to their time.
That's, yeah.
You know, one other thought,
yeah,
you know, I'll give it up. One other thought about resolutions. The act of saying, I am going to get very fit by March 1st, will become an obsession. But because you have made that commitment, you already feel better. You feel a little bit of heat off. So if I don't go tomorrow, then I'll go next week. I've still got until March 1st. I could really rev it up. But that is the worst thing to do, deluding yourself into thinking because you've promised to do something that it's done.
Yes.
You go and you buy a stack of books. You never crack the spine because you know those books are there and one day you'll benefit from them because you've made that big step. You've gone out and bought them.
Yeah.
Spending money means nothing in keeping resolutions. It is absolutely pointless. Gym equipment, gym passes.
That is huge.
Any number of diversions. It's a way of assuaging your guilt.
Wow.
If you only listen to one thing that Evan said on the show today. Hopefully that is not the case. But if it is, yes, spending money on a resolution doesn't mean you've done anything yet. That's very important because I love throwing money on stuff. Evan Thompson, will you come back in the new year and we'll see what state we're in and how we can have the best 2017 possible?
I'd be delighted. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, buddy.
Evan Thompson.
Have a happy holiday.
And to you and yours.
Evan Thompson and Associates.com for all your business communications and personal branding needs.
All right, we're going to come back and talk to Jamie Sturgeon. Stick around, Ward Now.